football on off the ball.
I've won a lot of penalties in diving, yeah. Yeah, quite a good few, yeah.
It's like the Lance Armstrong. The interview.
Oh, like if Farr was around when I was playing, I wouldn't have had a career. That's how good I was at the...
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball Breakfast.
With Viagra Connect 50mg film-coated tablets. Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150mg tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation.
0879 180 180 is the WhatsApp number. It is on YouTube. Type in Off the Ball. If you prefer to watch us rather than just listen, click on the live thumbnail and you will see four chaps looking back at you. To my right, we got DSN. To my left, we got MB. And to my other left, we got KT by two. It's Keith Tracy and Keith Thursday. Good morning.
Mm. Morning, everybody.
How are you?
I'm not too bad.
The lesser seen Keith Tracy, or Keith Thursday, I should say. What? The lesser seen Keith Thursday. We don't see Keith Thursday too often.
No, very rare. We've seen Keith Wednesday. Key Tuesday.
Real cranky.
Key Tuesday.
Real cranky.
Yeah, yeah. He wasn't happy camper.
That was a once off.
Yeah, he
fight his way. Do you know if it is Key Friday away? At the moment,
I don't know. I can't get a hold of that fella.
Keith Monday. I don't think we've seen.
No, we've never seen.
No, he hasn't come out to play yet.
We've never seen.
We'll see him Monday.
I have an immediate Key Thursday for everyone out there. What's the best half of football you've ever seen in your life?
No way you're going with this.
Last night. That was hard. How many times last night? Four in total. And it could have been a lot more. It was unbelievable.
That would frustrate me so much. If I was a Real player.
It must be the idea.
That's the idea. Yeah.
not to frustrate you specifically, but I think it winds up the away fans. I like it.
I think it's joyous. So if you missed this, or if you're a bit like Keith over here and watched the other game, it finished Bayern Munich 4, Real Madrid 3 on the night. And Bayern progressed to the semi-final 6-4 on aggregate. So goals in the first half were scored in the first, 6th, 29th, 38th and 42nd minute. So at halftime it was 3-2 to Madrid. And then right at the end of the game, former Premier League players, Luis Diaz, Michael Olise.
Yeah. There's an amazing comment there on the YouTube already. Finbar Fury says, Olise makes me want to watch football again. Well, question how he's how he's gotten to that point.
Oh, yeah. No, I was just laughing at his name.
Oh, yeah. I know, like it was unbelievable, wasn't it? But Keith, you enjoyed yourself, did you?
No, not really. No.
What are you doing to yourself?
I know. I was in for the first leg of the Spartan game. I was in here doing the football hour and. The whole office, I walked in the Bayern Munich Real Madrid game. I think you were in the out there match when I said, look, turn on the Arsenal game. And 10 minutes into it, I thought, this is awful. Mm. I shouldn't have done this. And the second leg last night, I was watching it with my wife's father, and even he was looking at me as if to say, we're not going to watch Real Madrid. And I sat there and thought, will I flick over? And I thought, I just can't. I couldn't forgive myself. Being an Arsenal fan, I can't go and watch Real Madrid and Bayern Munich, even though it was clearly a much better game over the two legs, much better quality, better tempo. Yeah. I get all that, but I just had to sit and wallow in the misery. But I've got semi-finals of the Champions League to look forward to now.
You do, yeah.
You do.
It's true. You do.
What's going on? Why does everyone have the giggles this morning?
There was a collection of online reaction here last night. I think one of the reasons the European Games are so much fun is players actually trying things, relying on first touch and skill, thinking creatively. And because both teams are doing that, instead of taking away all the risk, stuff happens. If you choose to watch Arsenal Sporting instead of Bayern Madrid, then you don't value your own mental health.
Yeah, I've no reply. Yeah, fair enough.
I saw this Sporting midfielder was saying.
Heumann, he was like, he was doing the post match interview and he straight up called the game boring. Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen a player call a game that they were involved in boring.
Yeah, he was like, as a neutral, it would have been very boring to look on at.
Yeah.
So this is not the way Sporting wants to play. We want to score goals. We don't want to be doing this sort of stuff.
But boys, we have Arsenal fans, don't we, in the YouTube comments?
We
have the odd one. I'd love to know if anyone actually watched. that match at the Emirates. That's like there wasn't or isn't an Arsenal supporter.
Where did
Sporting hit the post?
Yeah, were they comfortable?
Sporting hit the post, and they have another shot to hit side netting.
They hit the post, had a decent chance right at the death. Trossard hit the bar as well with a header. There was very little going out action. There was a couple of little nervy moments from David Raya passing out from the back, but all in all, like I never really felt overly worried for Arsenal. I felt they were just doing enough, and like Sporting midfielder saying it was a boring game, we came here to score goals, and why didn't you? In 180 minutes to score against Arsenal, you didn't score one goal. Yeah. So for as boring and as hard as it was, convinced me to do something else.
He was citing the stoppages in play and the time that it took Arsenal to take corners and throw-ins as one of the reasons that affected their rhythm.
It annoys me as well, but there was a moment in the first half where one of the Sporting Lisbon players got, and I mean, a tap on the ankle in the box, and he stayed down for nearly 4.5 minutes. It was an absolute joke. So if he wants to start talking about time wasting, he should have a look at his own teammates.
Now, before we get to Arsenal specifically, now, this has been the theme of the week so far. So from the night before, right, this is another tweet I'm reading out here, another X. The first 45 minutes of Atletico Barça is genuinely like the perfect antidote to some of the robotic system-based Premier League set-piece ball we have to watch every weekend. Unreal, unreal, unreal viewing. Watching Champions League after the Premier League is genuinely like going to a spa after a heavy weekend.
Am I being paranoid here, or a lot of these directed at Arsenal?
Well, I guess Arsenal are the symbol of it,
because
aren't
you're
they?
Saying Premier League, but I feel like you're saying Arsenal.
Well, I didn't say it. They didn't say it.
Yeah,
this is what I mean. You're coming in, you're projecting
just,
now.
Just
as
because
an
I'm
Arsenal
paranoid
fan.
Doesn't mean I'm wrong.
Well, I see Arsenal are the symbol of what the Premier League is like, isn't it? So the perception, at least of the Premier League, the perception runs away with the reality sometimes. So this is, you know, set piece heavy, not much is happening, and look who's top of the league. That's what people look at. And unfortunately, from the Arsenal side of things, if you are of the defensive nature for Arsenal, it's a very tough morning for you, because you had two options last night to watch. And one of them was joyous, and the other one was drudgery.
Yeah. There was a piece in the Times this morning about the, you're going to love this, Keith, the stats on time wasting in the Premier League. No prizes for guessing who tops that list, but Arsenal spend an average of 44.03 seconds to take a corner in Premier League games. Second in that list is Sunderland, 4 seconds behind. That feels...
Does it have an average there, no? If it doesn't, it doesn't. Like, but I'm just thinking, like, if is that like way above how long it normally takes? Because I'm thinking, like, by the time the ball goes out of play, how long, like, if you're not in that much of a rush. I seen some of the stats around the Bournemouth game at the weekend, and they were standout purely because Arsenal were losing that game and were still taking ages to do everything. And obviously, it's a repetition thing. It's like, this is how we do it, and we're going to, you know, this is, we stick to what we're used to doing, what we know and what's been working. But there just seems to be a lack of urgency. Do you reckon there's any sort of, as far as the fans go, like, I know it's, you can read into it if you like, but the fans tend to be leaving a bit early when the games are, about the Carabao Cup final and then the Bournemouth game the weekend. Is it a case of Arsenal fans are putting up with this because it's been effective to this point, but if they don't get over the line this season, the tide may turn?
Possibly. That's like everybody is saying to me, if Arsenal don't win the Premier League or the Champions League this season, then you sack Mikel Arteta, you go back to the drawing board. I'm not having all that sort of talk. I mean, I think all the indicators, you know, the set pieces, the time wasting, okay, that grates on me as well. Some of the stuff is a little bit boring at times, but two Champions League semi-finals in the last 2 years, a Carabao Cup final, you know, right at the death of this Premier League, could easily go and win that. So everything is going in the right direction. The only thing that's not great, and by the way, I think the only reason it hasn't been great, or the time it hasn't been great, is probably over the last 5 games, starting at the Carabao Cup final against Manchester City. I mean, earlier on in the season, we beat Atletico Madrid in the Champions League, we beat Bayern Munich in the Champions League, we scored 3 against Bayern. There's been some really open, lovely, sexy attacking football. It just seems to have really, really dried up from open play. A lot of people are saying Gyökeres is not an elite striker. Gyökeres is doing fine. Look at the Madueke's return, look at Trossard's return, Saka's return, Odegaard, Rice, Zubimendi. If all them come and score between 5 and 10 goals and Gyökeres is doing what he's doing, then everything's rosy in the garden. So I was looking at the Virgin coverage last night, and they were highlighting the amount of times that they turned down passes to Gyökeres. almost like they don't trust him. But if you're Victor Gyökeres, you've got to be demanding it. You've got to be roaring and shouting for that ball to come into your feet. And I just think it's teething problems, but I don't think Victor Gyökeres is the problem. I think a lot of Arsenal players' performances have come down a bit and they look like a team full of fear. And that's what I don't like. The time waste and the horribleness I can put to one side because of the results and where we're getting into tournaments. But yeah, at some point I would like that to get better. But it's not a necessity as long as we keep getting results.
Will Arsenal win the Premier League?
No. No, I think they lose on Sunday. And I don't expect Manchester City to be perfect, but I think City beat us on Sunday and Arsenal's confidence just goes, just completely goes, and they stutter towards the end, but ultimately don't win the Premier League. And I probably have them as last now in the Champions League. If you'd have asked me in December, I'd have said they're favourites to win it. You ask me now, I'd say Atletico are ahead of them, PSG are ahead, and Bayern are ahead of them.
And to follow on Matthew's question there, like, what ultimately, that doesn't mean the end for Mikel Arteta for you?
I don't think so. I think we can put demands on Mikel next season that maybe we need some, you know, better football, all this type of stuff. But honestly, I think if Saka was there, if Odegaard was fighting fit, we'd need a little bit more from Eze, Madueke as well. If all these wingers and attacking players start doing what we expect them to do on the ball, you know, then it can get better. But
why are we getting
results like we are? I mean, Sporting are a decent team, and I know people are saying that they were the worst team left in the competition. Two clean sheets against them. I know there's an awful lot of negatives and people want to say this and that. Two clean sheets in the quarter final of a Champions League and a win away from home in the quarter finals of the Champions League, they're not easy things to come by. So, you know, although it's doom and gloom, and I do get a lot of it, you know, while Mikel Arteta and Arsenal are where they are, it's very hard for any of that door to stick.
It's hanging in the balance, isn't it? Like, it's going to go one of two ways. Either it's going to end up being an absolutely amazing season, or it's going to be the biggest disaster that we've had in God knows how long.
I was asked by me Spurs mates, and this one put chills down me, down me bones. What's more likely to happen this season? Arsenal to win the Premier League or the Champions League or both, and Spurs to be relegated, or Spurs to stay up and Arsenal to win nothing? And I would say Spurs to stay up and Arsenal to win nothing is probably more likely.
Jesus.
The thinker.
Then my season has just crumbled all of a sudden.
Then what are you positive about then?
Well, overall, I think if the season was to end tomorrow and we didn't win anything, I'd say 90% of the season has been excellent. Really, really good.
And we've seen them do this before, though. Yeah. We know they can do this much.
Yeah, but we're not being beaten by ragball Rovers here in the Champions League. We're not being beaten by a poor team in the Premier League. Manchester City, although they're not at their brilliant best, they spent 80 million in January on probably about 200 million worth of player.
Yeah,
on
Gehi and Semenyo. They're at together now.
Yeah, they've been. But if Manchester City don't sign Semenyo and Gehi, do you think they're in this title race?
But if Mianta Balls, you know, in fairness, that they, like, they, you know, they've added to their squad. Like, they've done their business.
If Arsenal spent 100 million in January and we're top of the league by whatever else, they, people would be saying, oh, they bought the league. But Manchester City bought 80 million worth of player in January. And Semenyo has been unbelievable. Gehi all of a sudden has made them defend properly. And Donnarumma has been excellent as well.
They also spent a lot of money last January, Man City.
Mm.
And Liverpool won the league.
Mm.
You know, it doesn't mean you're going to win the league.
No, it doesn't, but I think
it's not the price tag, it's the player,
this season,
isn't it?
Yeah, no, I think 80 million is cheap for those two players. It's wonderful, wonderful business. Yeah. In a different transfer window, they're worth
they
200 million to two of them.
They took advantage of it. Arsenal could have done that.
What I'm saying, those two signings are pivotal.
Yeah.
If you take Semenyo and Gehi out of that Manchester City squad from January,
but
they're not in this
title race.
But it's
half the season, though. So it's not even the context of the full season. Like, they've signed those two players with Premier League experience, and to be honest with you, they've actually done better than I thought they would. I thought Semenyo would take a little bit of time to settle, and he hasn't. Sure,
yeah, he's kind of players usually do.
Gehi fits in, like, as a player who belongs at that level. Yeah, well, it's smart by City.
What I'm trying to say is Manchester City haven't been their brilliant best, but they're still very, very good and hard to beat. PSG, unbelievable team in the Champions League. Yeah. Bayern Munich, unbelievable. So if we fall short to Bayern Munich or a PSG or an Atletico in the semis, and Manchester City beat us in the league and they beat us in the Carabao Cup, the only real thing I'm looking at and think that could have been avoided was to defeat the Southampton. Like, we're being beat by the elite of the elite. We're not being beat by, as I say, ragball Rovers.
Yeah, I guess it's not that. It's like with Arsenal, it's like defensively I trust them all day. But going back to that League Cup final, this is actually genuinely the example for me, is when they went 1-0 down to City, in that final. That was early in the second half, right? And I was sitting there watching it, and my overriding feeling was, I don't think they're going to get back into this game. I just don't think they're going to they're going to attack enough. I don't think they're going to create enough. And I think City are going to win it. And that was early in the second half. That's what I feel about Arsenal. Now, they're very good at shutting you out.
Yeah.
Generally speaking. But I just don't, I don't trust them to take the game to the opposition when it really comes to it.
Yeah.
You know, I thought that, I was watching last night, and I thought, if Bayern Munich are watching this, they'll be thinking, if we score two against Arsenal, they won't get back into the game. And they're more than capable. Over 100 goals in the Bundesliga already, a ridiculous amount. Like, Elise's finish. Like, he barely even moves it over the angle. Like, he doesn't give Mendy a chance to even tackle him.
He tried it about a half a dozen times in the second half alone. He actually referenced it in his post-match interview, that he had tried that exact finish
little
a couple of times, and it was just going over every time.
He doesn't need to get it out of his feet at all.
It comes off the post at some pace, though, as well. It's not like it just nestles in the corner. It's like it's an amazing.
Just on Arteta and Arsenal, I think he's done if they don't win it this season. In terms of, like, teams are starting to figure out how to play against them. Like, those, that last couple of weeks, whatever about Champions League, because they're not really seeing them week in, week out. They've their own leagues to worry about. I think, like, this kind of system has worked to a point in the big games, fair enough. But teams have kind of, you know, the way football works, like, you can only play a certain way for a certain amount of time. You're going to get found out eventually. You can't take that into next season. And I don't think he has another hand to play.
Yeah, well, that's it. Like, what do they do next season, I guess? If they lose the league title, if they get knocked out by Atletico, what then for Arteta? Can he, like, can he go again? Because we know he can do it.
I don't think he'd go anywhere.
We know for the first three quarters of every season, we know they're very good.
I think they'll just stick with him.
I don't think he'll get sacked. I think in terms of challenging for the title, I don't think he's your he's your man.
Why wouldn't you consider parting ways with him if he can't deliver trophies?
Because I don't think there's any tactician. Like, if say for instance, and this is never ever going to happen, but Arsenal get Pep Guardiola for the start of next season. Anybody expect him to win the Champions League playing that type of football up against PSG, up against Bayern Munich?
It's a fair point,
I wouldn't have thought so. I don't think they can outplay those teams. Maybe over a 90-minute game as they did against Bayern Munich in the early stages, but when the chips are down and PSG are up for it, and Bayern Munich are up for it, I wouldn't fancy Arsenal to play them like toe-to-toe game of football. I wouldn't expect them to beat them at that. But there is a world where they can be a little bit horrible, lean into set pieces, keep a clean sheet, do all that type of stuff. So why on earth are we putting these stipulations on Arsenal to say you need to match PSG and you need to do it in a pretty manner to get any type of kudos?
You want to be, I guess you want to be entertained to a point as a fan, you know, as watching the game. And all that this week has reminded people, it was like, oh, this actually can be very enjoyable. And by and large, a lot of the Premier League games this season, not just Arsenal, a lot of them actually, I don't know if it's hit some sort of a ceiling, the Premier League, and the way it's played, and we're in this phase at the moment where it is set piece heavy. And a lot of the games, they're forgettable. Mm. A lot of Premier League games are very forgettable. Now, the counter to that is, like, if you watch La Liga matches or Bundesliga games, I'm sure a lot of them are actually not much of a contest either. Yeah. But I guess when it comes to the elite time of the season, and this is that, the quarterfinals of the Champions League, that's when you see the levels. That's what it could be. And, like, watching that game last night, Bayern Madrid, was genuinely very enjoyable. It was, you know, I said the day before, it was the phone down test.
Yeah.
Not looking at my phone at all, for this is incredible. Mm. This is banger after banger. And when you mentioned the goals in the first half, there was Woodwork's hit. There was a fella sent off in the second half, Camavinga. There was stuff happening all the time.
Yeah.
Then I watched back the highlights of Arsenal Sporting. And genuinely, just the pace of the game, it just looks a little different.
Yeah.
That's all it is. And maybe then with the Arsenal thing, then specifically on them, I don't know, I think people are... I don't know if they're having Mikel Arteta. I don't know if they enjoy his media dealings and stuff like that. So I think collectively, there does seem to be genuinely a kind of distaste for Arsenal this season.
I think there is. And again, just because I'm paranoid doesn't mean I'm wrong. I think a lot of people don't like the way Arsenal go about it. But if everybody is not happy with how you're going about it, until they... Like, Vinnie Peart was talking about development and, you know, Arsenal having to get to a point where they're playing nice football... Why don't you lean into the horrible stuff? Like, get even better at the horrible stuff. Make it even worse for other teams. Because clearly they don't like it. Everybody is flagging off set pieces, this and that. And okay, well, you clearly don't like it, so give them more of it.
I guess because they have the players to play ball. That's the thing.
Do you reckon?
I think they do. Like, I think they really do. I think they have, like, Odegaard is a fine player. I actually don't really know If he's kind of come back a bit from what he was, Supermendi's very good. Eze is a very good player. Saka on his day will tear you apart. I think they have enough. Like, and Declan Rice is a good midfielder. So I don't think they don't have a team. I don't think they have a team of like just like workhorses who will collectively beat you by will and submission.
Yeah,
I actually think they can play a bit, and they don't play a bit. That's what's annoying.
I don't know if their defenders are individually good enough to do that, to put more emphasis on the attacking side of it. I think they've some decent defenders. I think Saliba's a good player and Gabriel's all right. Timber's a decent player. But I think they're made better by the system that they're playing in. And if there was more emphasis put on keeping the ball, throwing it around, being a bit more open, expansive, I think they might be found out a little bit defensively. And then when you start getting found out defensively, that's putting more pressure on those attackers. And I think that attack, if Eze is in there and Saka's in there, okay, they'll do a lot of heavy lifting. But like, who's playing off the left? Like Trossard, Martinelli, I don't know. If
yeah, that's probably
like,
that's the area that they can improve on.
Yeah, and I'm sure they will in the summer. But I don't know. I just think I think a lot of their players are I think that with the way they are now, they're like more than the sum of their parts or whatever. You know, that sort of.
Yeah, I think they have potential. Like, they're a very good goalkeeper. Their defense is good.
They have a goalkeeper. Yeah.
I think their midfield is outstanding.
Yeah,
and it's just lacking that. They are lacking that. Funnily enough, like Michael Olise type of player. Sure are most teams.
Yeah, they probably don't win some big games this season if they play the way you're saying they could play. But they win last night. They score some goals last night. If they play a bit more free, not within the system where they feel like they can't play football.
There's a world, look, where we're going to see an improved Arsenal again next season, and they do go all the way. And they actually play a little bit of football to go with how hard they are to beat. But it's just, I don't know, it's just hard because it's just this time of year, Mikel Arteta kind of comes back again. But look, we're talking about Arsenal this morning as if they've lost. And they are true.
Exactly.
They're Champions League semi-finalists. Mm. They're top of the league as it stands. Yeah. Everything's going very well on paper. If you didn't see Arsenal play this season and you just checked in on their results now, like, oh, wow, this is like Arsene Wenger 20 years ago, Arsenal. This is really good. Mm. But it's just not the Wenger football when you watch it.
Yeah, but a lot of it has been absolutely fine. As I say, the last 4 or 5 games haven't been great on the eye, but generally there's been a lot of games in there where I have been entertained. And if I said to you this second leg last night against Sporting, Arsenal are going to be without Timber, who's been instrumental for them this season. He's an injury, Saka the same, Odegaard, Marino is somebody who's under the radar, was very, very important for Arsenal. And even Calafiori popping in at left back, he was injured as well. Like, last season, if I'd have said to you, Saka and Odegaard are going to miss a good chunk of the season, said, well, he won't be in the title race. They're top of it. And they're top of the Champions League, haven't been beaten in the Champions League this season. I totally get the last month or so hasn't been great on the eye. But if that's your worst period of the season, any time Arsenal have lost in the Premier League this season, they've put distance between that loss and the next loss.
Well, why do you think they're going to lose to Man City?
I just think City are exceptional. I think Cherky has really started to come into his own, the amount of assists he gets.
He's having himself, isn't he?
Yeah, he's having himself. But look, he backs it up, doesn't he? Like,
yeah, he's a player of confidence.
Did you see that video he was doing with the battle?
Yeah, see bottle flipping during the game, yeah. That was crazy.
He was trying to land the battle and it's facing up during the game.
This bottle flip thing?
Yeah, the bottle flip thing, and he was annoyed that it wasn't working. But then it doesn't matter because then he does what he does with the assists outside the foot. It's like, do whatever you want to do, boy. Do whatever makes you happy. He's a bit of a throwback, a bit of a maverick.
Yeah.
I say.
Yeah, he is. But Donnarumma has been excellent. Gahey, brilliant. Semenyo, very, very good. Doku, Cherky, Haaland. Bernardo Silva looked like he was running out of steam, but all of a sudden he looks to have a little bit of magic left. So,
but would you just say that you just think City are better than Arsenal? Well, Arsenal overachieving the season?
I think City can impose their style on people, and they can do that to the best teams, where Arsenal can't really impose a style. Arsenal, you know, it just is what it is with Arsenal. They will grind out results, but I don't particularly see it being pretty. But I think if you tell that Arsenal team that open, expansive football is the way you want to play against City, I think you get pumped. I think you get done 3 or 4 nil. And it's really embarrassing. But if you make it horrible and ugly, you could easily win the game 1-0 through a set piece. But you've got to keep a lot of very, very good players quiet.
We have plenty of comments coming in. We'll get to them there in a second. So the Champions League semi-final draw is made. We got PSG
just in
against Bayern. And we have Arsenal against Atletico Madrid. Arsenal Atletico, 5th of May. Let's get this out quickly. 5th of May. Bayern PSG, 6th of May. Who's winning the Champions League, lads? I can never predict the Champions League winner. Never knew it.
I never get it.
I never know the Champions League winner.
I said Bayern in the league phase. So
Bayern
haven't
won it since 2020. which was the COVID, remember that weird COVID one where Neymar was suddenly class when they played one-legged knockout games. Last time they won a proper, I suppose, it's 2013.
I remember that.
So you're saying Bayern?
Yeah, I've been saying Bayern.
Is this pure vibes from last night, or you've said it all along?
No. I think I said it in the league phase, if not round of 16.
They generally do get touted, don't they? In and around
now, but
you're staying there. At this time, so you stay with that.
I know you're going to say. I think PSG are going to. But I would love Atletico Madrid to win.
That'd be brilliant. Is anyone? Well, obviously not yourself. I would like to see that too. I said to Graham Hunter yesterday, I was kind of felt sorry for Atletico. You know, 2014 they won the league, and then the next week they lost the Champions League final in heartbreaking circumstances to their bitterest rivals. But they don't have to contend with Real Madrid now.
No.
They're the two finals that they lost.
It's there for them. Is it there for everyone? Yeah, because
Is it there for everyone?
PSG would be the favourites, but I still think they can be beaten.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Bayern are not.
I think that should be the final. It's a shame. Bayern PSG.
It sort of happened last year, didn't it? With the Inter getting through to the final. Although I was big on Inter last year.
Yeah, Barca,
They were good. They were a throwback to Italian way.
They were, for sure.
That semi final second leg last season.
It was amazing.
One of the greats.
It was unbelievable.
But everyone, most people wanted the Barcelona PSG final because they were two teams last year. And it seems as though now this year it's still PSG, but it's Bayern instead of Barca.
Particularly last year as well, but the final was so disappointing. In hindsight as well, we were really robbed there.
I know Inter.
Who do you think?
I think Paris Saint-Germain are going to retain the Champions League.
They're like Rory McIlroy. The Rory McIlroy of the Champions
League.
Doesn't happen often.
Very much so, yeah.
So that, I think PSG will win it as well. But that said, do you think the English Premier League is still the strongest league?
Well, I don't know. That's a really good question. We're very Premier League heavy on the show. And we'd actually love to talk about La Liga and the French League and Serie A as in-depth as we do. But obviously, we need a certain amount of time to watch a certain amount of games. We had Graham Hunter on the show yesterday, and he gets annoyed by this. He was like, people say Premier League's the best. It's marketed much better than any other league. But he's basically watch La Liga. I suspect it's actually not the best league, but it's an incredibly well-packaged division.
Yeah.
We watch it all the time. I think it goes through phases, right, of like any, I suppose, great institute, that it gets a little bit overrated.
Yeah, but still.
And then at times it's very competitive. Like a few years ago, that Man City Liverpool back and forth between Jurgen Klopp and Pep Guardiola. Do you know the year that Liverpool finished with 97 points? They lost one game and they didn't win the league. That was like magnificent stuff. Now, you could argue it was only those two teams and the other 18 were so-so. But you could say that a lot of times for La Liga, that it's Real Madrid and Barcelona and then the rest. And it's Bayern Munich and the rest. So that's your argument there. I suspect, at the moment, we're probably overrating the Premier League. But at the same time, I haven't sat down recently and watched Getafe against Osasuna.
I haven't watched the whole thing,
so I can't tell you what that's like.
Well, I think the English Premier League I think the English Premier League has the most chances to win it. The better horses in the race.
They had how many Premier League clubs were in it this season?
Yeah, when you look at all the other big leagues, look at the French league. There's only PSG with a realistic chance of winning the Champions League. Look at Germany, Bayern Munich. I know Borussia Dortmund has been in and amongst it, but generally you'd say Bayern Munich are the only German team. Spain, Real Madrid, Barcelona. I know Atletico are in and amongst it as well, but generally it's Madrid and Barcelona. You look at England, there's Man City, Liverpool, Arsenal. I know Chelsea have been awful, but you wouldn't be surprised if they were in amongst it as well. Yeah. So I think England is still the strongest league, although PSG and Bayern Munich are probably the real, real heavyweights in amongst it. But
I think more
quality in England.
I would suspect as well, as another kind of metric, that the worst team in the Premier League is probably better than the worst team in Spain. You know, that doesn't really mean anything, but I suppose it just shows that there's maybe a bit more depth.
I think also, in this part of the world, like Ireland and Britain, that it's this time of year and these type of games that this conversation comes up. So it's like, they were unbelievable Champions League quarterfinals there with non-Premier League teams. Oh, what are we missing? But in November, we're not having this conversation, you know?
Yeah.
Not necessarily.
Yeah.
And to your point as well, I think it's because in the Premier League, generally speaking, there are more contenders to win it.
And to be fair,
those other leagues,
the French FA gave PSG the weekend off.
Yeah, whenever it's they all stuff like that. Yeah, yeah, so like, it's like it all doesn't happen. This is England. What really matters. Real Madrid, you win the Champions League, you're a hero. If you only win La Liga, no big deal.
Yeah.
So it's a different mindset. Whereas, like, say for Arsenal this season, it's almost like the Champions League is, I wouldn't say a bonus, unbelievable if they won the Champions League. But I imagine, I don't know, I'm only speaking on your behalf now, so you correct me if I'm wrong, that the Premier League is the priority and Champions League would also be great.
Yeah. They can't at this stage. Either or. Would honestly, you? Yeah, either
I,
or.
I was asking Arsenal buddies of mine when they were back in the days when the quadruple was on. A few weeks ago, and I was saying, what's the priority, or what would you take? Would you lose the other three to win the Premier League, or would you take the other three and lose the Premier League? And he's like, Premier League all day.
Yeah, I think if they won the Champions League in whatever fashion and came second in the Premier League, people would still have questions about them because they still haven't got over the hump.
A Champions League is more of a flex though, isn't it? Saying it you finished north of Bayern and PSG.
It's just getting beaten by City again.
Yeah,
and getting caught by them. I think there's still questions
that's
there.
That's going to be some fascinating discussion if Arsenal win the Premier League, or sorry, win the Champions League. So they beat Atletico and they beat either Bayern or PSG in the final and they lose the Premier League.
It's still like,
that'll be a mad.
Why has that happened? It's still the same thing again.
I take that. I don't think that'd hurt too much.
Three games
I think Arsenal fans would be happy enough with that. Yeah,
it might be. But I think like then you go into next season, like are they going to win the next Premier League? Like they were so close and they got caught again.
Yeah, it's not the same because it's obviously Arsenal have been ahead and then will have thrown it away if they were to lose it on this occasion. But like the Klopp's Liverpool team had a similar thing where they went and won the Champions League and came close in the Premier League and then eventually then they go on to win the Premier League. So there is a bit of that about it, but it's more the fact that they've thrown it away. Like
quiz question.
Yeah,
what was the best goal last night?
Alisa.
In the 4-3 Bayern Madrid. So you had Arda Güler's 45 second goal. What about Manuel Neuer, like man of the match last week?
Yeah, didn't have his
two clangers there last night.
His finest.
What is his level?
What is it?
0.79180.
We were saying that last week. I think you said it that next week he'll probably have a bad game.
No, he does this. He did a few. I remember he had an unbelievable game against Real Madrid a couple of years ago and then just threw one into the net.
If you were to look at his face, you wouldn't know what type of gape he's having, you know?
Yeah, true. He's stoic.
Yeah. Either way, he could be having the game of his life or it could be a nightmare. Yeah. And Manuel stays the same.
It's a good observation.
Arda Güler, 45 seconds, beautiful finish.
Yeah. I think Luis Diaz's goal has probably gone a little bit deflected under the radar because of Elise's goal. Great finish.
A massive deflection though.
Deflected. I think it kills all momentum of a great ball.
It is.
Okay, right. Yeah. I didn't know that.
That's another thing Liverpool got wrong.
Terrible take. On the face of it, I'd agree, but I think he was just mad to get out of there.
I think
he was just mad to go. You know,
surely
but they could have given him a few more quid.
I saw Dermot Keenan there in the comments lamenting the loss of Luis Diaz for Liverpool.
Yeah, I think hindsight's obviously a wonderful thing, but he's much better than, like, I'd have been pushing Gakpo to the door.
Likes Gakpo, doesn't he?
He has a much better player.
Yeah. Kylian Mbappe's goal, very nice move.
Was played
by Vinicius. Yeah. Michael Olise, it was the cherry on top.
Yeah, that's an amazing goal.
So, what are you having all these things? Luis is the goal of the game.
I'm having Luis.
It's Golden Night. If
we're going to call out Manuel Neuer's clangers, Lunin, what was Lunin doing for
the corner?
He just stayed behind his line.
It was weird. Yeah,
he got it wrong. He stuck the wrong side of the.
He never even called for the soft three. You know.
Yeah, well, he knew. I think he knew himself. Yeah. He messed it up.
There's plenty of comments coming on YouTube this morning. Keep them coming, Carol Dillon. 630 million net spend under Mikel Arteta. That's nuts.
That's over 6 years, 5 years?
100 million a year.
Yeah, they spent a lot during the summer. And they signed well, I thought, but it's, you know.
Yeah.
The first Keith Thursday is in. You'd argue this is Keith Tracy. Have you ever seen a more stupid sending off from Camavinga? Absolutely brain dead and changed the game.
Yeah. It was silly because it wasn't the tackle, was it? But I think he was getting away with the tackle, but then he starts a little dribble with the ball and he sort of picks it up. He doesn't throw it away, but he just sort of takes his time and he was always going to get a yellow card for it. He's a silly boy. I don't like seeing players get sent off in that fashion. You know, you'd rather it be a thunderous tackle or something that you go, you deserve that. But those little flimsy, petulant ones is... You know, when you see Martinez getting sent off for a hair pull on Dominic Calvert-Lewin, you know you're going to get sent off for silly little
stuff.
What's
the most ridiculous red card you've seen on a pitch in a game you've been playing in?
Ridiculous red cards.
Like just stupid stuff. Like
the only one I can remember, I got sent off once and it was the referee was so happy to send me off as well. I got sent off against West Ham, but he gave some sort of dodgy decision 10 minutes prior. And I looked him in the eye and said, why do we always get the...
Yeah,
poor referees, And when I said it, I could see his heart sink, and I thought, I've hurt him there. And I ran away, and a couple of minutes later, I fouled one of the West Ham players about to tap the ball into an empty net. So I clicked his heels as he was about to do it, and I looked over the shoulder. The referee's running towards me. He said, just don't send me off. And the smile from ear to ear as he took the second yellow out of his pocket, I thought, serves me right. Serves me right. I shouldn't have opened my mouth, but I can't remember any horrific red cards or silly red cards off the top of my head.
Esso Donoghue on YouTube saying Arsenal were on fire, which is a bit of hijinks towards Mikel Arteta yesterday saying, I'm on fire. Kasabian there.
It's a disgrace.
Did he say, I'm on fire?
He said, I'm on fire.
He starts saying, fire, fire.
What were the Madrid players so angry about with the ref afterwards? Gudrun got a red. Vinicius was aggressive.
Real Madrid.
That's another thing that game had too. It had it all. A meltdown by the losing team.
Real Madrid, love him. Typically very, you know, good losers. That's exactly what that was.
One of the most vocal Arsenal fan on this YouTube thread is at Cahir, who has not been seen on here since before the Bournemouth game. Sporting haven't won an away knockout game since 1970, so they were never getting a goal. However, just for the sake of balance here, Jesus, it's a bash Arsenal morning, and they have made their second Champions League semi-final in a row. Draw with City on Sunday, which they are more than capable of doing, and the league is theirs.
Yeah, but the noise will still be the same. If Arsenal draw with City, the noise will still be the same. You feel like, even if Arsenal beat Manchester City, I still feel people would be banging the down and out drum. But look, the narrative can change very quickly. But I think Arteta said, look, the reality and the noise are very different. And the reality for Arsenal is they're still in a wonderful place. They still have it in their hands if they go and beat Manchester City and win their remaining games. But it's a tall order, but you'd rather be in this position than not.
Alan says, maybe Sean Dyche could help Arsenal get results in tight games.
I'm not answering that. Poking fun at me.
Not reading the comments. Bayern to win the Champions League. It's another shout. That's a crazy take on Arsenal defenders, says Griff.
Well, it's a game of opinions, Griff.
It's a good response.
Come back at him there. EPL is a fool's show.
EPL?
Premier League.
Oh. It's a fool show.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
I guess we're all wasting our time watching it.
You're a fool for watching it. Yeah.
What league should we be watching?
The EFL. The Championship.
Championship.
The Real Madrid goalkeeper wouldn't get a game in Leinster Junior League of a Sunday morning in the Phoenix Park.
Very good, very good.
Kieran McDonnell is a big winner, is he?
Yes.
Your Brayburn competition. What was the question?
This week's.
What's the answer?
It was the last time Atletico Madrid were in a Champions League final.
When was that?
2016.
Penalties. They lost to Real Madrid. They lost two finals in 3 years to Real Madrid.
Yeah.
Heartbreaking stuff.
Like if they had won the La Liga the week after, probably would have been okay. Mm. Like you'd look back on that season, okay, but it's the fact that it's the last thing that happened.
Did Simeone on 750 grand a week?
He's on
that?
He's on.
Yeah, I think he's
money,
the one of the highest paid in the world, if not the highest paid.
And what sort of success have Atletico had?
Two league titles, two Champions League finals. They were a rabble when he took over.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
750 grand a week, though.
Arsenal were fairly rabid when Arteta.
They were, yeah. Yeah. But I suppose he hasn't won those two leagues and he hasn't got to the Champions League finals.
That's true.
You know.
Maybe this is his year.
Plenty of reaction in the papers this morning as we approach 10 past 8 this morning. Keep your comments coming in. 0879 180 180. You'll get us on WhatsApp as well. Feel the burn. The back of Sun Sport. Gunners lacking fire. But scrape into semi-finals. Maguire joke band. Did you see this?
Declan Rice morphing into Arteta there a little bit, is he?
I think he has more going on with his hair than Arteta does, which Arteta probably is jealous of. Harry Maguire is banned from Manchester United's trip to Chelsea for blasting officials as a... This is a quote. Don't come at me, HR. Fucking joke. The FA upheld Maguire's improper conduct charge for letting rip after he was sent off in the 2-2 draw at Bournemouth last month. His retort was, he said, it's a fucking joke, not you, Aaron.
All right. Yeah, we get it.
Which is fair enough, I guess. Katie, top of any bill. Eddie Hearn insists Katie Taylor deserves top billing for her farewell fight this year at Croke Park as he ruled out GAHQ for hosting Anthony Joshua's clash with Tyson Fury. It does feel like she deserves to be the main event.
Yeah, but again, as always with boxing, and has always been the case with Katie Taylor coming to fight in Croke Park, is the cost, and they will want to make sure that they make a nice profit on it. and it's just whether they think that they can sell out Croker with Katie as the top bill, and that remains to be seen what they do there. But it doesn't look like you're going to get an Anthony Joshua Tyson Fury fight in Crow Park with Katie Taylor on the co-main.
Madison Square Garden would be the biggest venue that Katie has fought in so far, is it?
I imagine so, yeah.
There's the AT&T as well she was in.
True, I mean, that is bigger, I think, yeah. Is it? Yeah.
What's that, 20 odd thousand, something like that? It's a bit of a jump, isn't it, from 20 to 80?
It's huge, yeah, but again, you're in Ireland, I suppose. Mm. There is a difference there, but just with, again, the pricing and all that sort of stuff, the closer that's you huge, get to the ring, the more expensive these tickets get. You know?
What would you say around the crowd would be if Katie Taylor does headline Pro Park? Capacity 80,000.
Really depends on the pricing, doesn't it? Like,
depends on the opponent, really. You need to know.
It's a farewell, it's a tribute to Katie.
I actually don't think the opponent matters at all.
It depends on the card as well, too. Like if you Pierce O'Leary on the undercard there, he'd bring an outrageous amount of people that wouldn't go otherwise. I think you would have a safe bet at around 60. I think you would get 50-60, but then you're kind of, then it depends on it. Again, I said the price is very important.
It is important.
I know it's a once in a lifetime occasion and she absolutely totally deserves it, that, like, just to preface that, but it just depends on whether they'll do it or not, you know. At the end of the day, it's business.
Michael reckons that Katie would sell out Croker. Would be 60 is still impressive, but I just, the idea of I'm kind of on your line of thinking that it's a tribute to Katie Taylor. This is a long, long time coming, her fighting at Crow Park.
Yeah,
I know she's done the 3 Arena, but this would be like the peak of it, really.
Yeah. It's just as well, I see the point out there, like the Pierce, obviously very popular, and then you've Paddy Donovan as well, who's actually fighting again in a couple of months in the world title eliminator. He's back. The other kind of complication there is that a lot of these fighters are under different promoters. And look, that's not stood in the way in the past, but it just means there has to be a lot more talking that goes on and different people getting different cuts of the cake and all that sort of thing.
Undercards need a heavyweight fight. Because I think for a general boxing fan, if there's a heavyweight fight, you tune in.
I think as far as promoting an event goes, if you've got a heavyweight fight there, sure. Like you would be mad not to have one there. That goes without saying.
Yeah,
sure.
Totally. I'll bring your attention to this on the back of the Irish Independent this morning. Irish defend Randall call amid bitter fallout. You may have heard of this story. So Munster Rugby have defended the decision to appoint former All Black Roger Randall as attack coach from next season. Despite a negative reaction to the move. So Roger Randall, when he was a Hurricanes player back in 1997, was arrested and charged with rape in South Africa. It's important to say that he's always denied all allegations. As I say, this goes back to 1997, specifically in April, when the side were playing in Durban. A 31-year-old woman from Durban made the allegation. However, the complainant withdrew the charges in May of 1997. So we asked the IRFU and Munster Rugby for comment. With the Munster statement here, this is in relation to those questions we put to the organisation. Munster Rugby is aware of a historical matter concerning newly appointed coach Roger Randall from 1997. At the time, no legal process was pursued and the matter was closed. Munster Rugby carried out due diligence during the recruitment process and are satisfied with the appointment, which has been ratified and approved. Just to bring the story on a little bit more, the Irish Independent, this is true, Rory O'Connor and Cian Tracy on this morning's back page, understands that 3 independent members of the influential professional game board, former players Billy Holland, Mick O'Driscoll and Killian Keane, have all stepped down because of their objections to the appointment. So as you can imagine, we can't say much more about that, but that is the latest development in that story regarding Munster's appointment of Roger Randall.
We understand that there was a bit of pushback when this decision was in the making. It's not surprising that some people have decided to step down reportedly. So it's very much a developing story there.
And bring you back to sporting matters here. Only Luis Enrique close to signing a new PSG deal and blow to Manchester United. It would have been mental, the idea of Luis Enrique taking over at Man United, wouldn't it? Unless he just loves a challenge. PSG retain the Champions League, they win another league.
Graham always tells us about how much he has a grow towards managing the Premier League, and something he's always wanted to do.
He does, and his English is pretty good. He's never played or managed here. It would be some appointment.
Yeah, it would be, but I can't imagine Luis Enrique's agent giving him a ring saying Manchester United fancy. You're like, I'm at PSG.
But maybe he's conquered all worlds there, you know. There's not more you can do. Yeah, but if you win that club World Cup again, you could redo that Chelsea final. That's about it.
I think there's better horses in the Premier League for him to jump on top of. Like even a Manchester City, if he wants to hang fire and wait for Pep to go, he could jump in there. Or even a Liverpool with Slot, you know, on the brink possibly.
It would be horrible if Enrique went to City, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it's, I think everybody just go, Jesus, there's the Premier League gone for the next couple of years.
That's Enzo Maresca's on gardening leave, isn't he? He's waiting to see unofficial.
He can end up back at Chelsea the way they're carrying on.
I know. Take it, yeah. Keith, great to have you.
Cheers, lads.
Good stuff.
That was an extended match. Yeah.
8:15 a.m. and it's Thursday morning. Delighted now to have Keith Thursday here very briefly. Keith, loads of questions coming in for you this morning. Seamus Flanagan is listening into this section. He's going to love this. This is for Keith Thursday. The best three Irish albums, someone wants to know.
My best three Irish albums. I've got one at the top that's a little bit, I'm not sure if I'm allowed or not, but I'll start with Damien Rice. Like Damien Rice back in the day. The Blower's Daughter, Cannonball, all that stuff. The second would have been The Script, and the reason for that is I bought a Range Rover. It was my first car in probably 2010, and that was the CD. You know, when you get into the car and you just listen, it was that album from first song to last song. Do you remember The Man Who Can't Be Moved?
That's a non-skip album, that. Yeah.
But my number one Irish album, I'm not even sure if they're a real band, to be honest. The Commitments.
Ah, yeah, they are.
Are they a real band?
Yeah. Yeah, they play in the Jazz Weekend in Cork. They play on the Sunday night in South.
Yeah, unbelievable. Like, that's an album you can listen to. Like, Mustang Sally, Try a Little Tenderness, Mr. Pitiful, Take Me to the River.
Yeah.
Dark End of the Street. Love The Commitments. That would be me. Yeah, my number one Irish album.
That would have been great out of context, Keith, if someone clicked on the YouTube link just at that moment. You're just listing this out. Three of us looking at you. And one more. Best movie soundtrack?
I have two. Two, I can't split. It's either Rocky Three or Scarface.
No, Rocky Three is a great.
What's the What are the Scarface tunes?
Push It to the Limit. She's on fire. it's a real running one. Scarface, unbelievable. There's a lot of Disney ones as well that have good soundtracks.
Yeah, they pride themselves on it.
Yeah,
yeah. Interstellar.
Score. No, I've never seen Interstellar. I've been meaning to see it.
I only saw it very recently.
Never seen it.
I didn't watch Interstellar. My wife watched it on a plane. I think we were flying to Dubai and she was sobbing watching it. And she looked at me, this is brilliant, you should watch it. I mean,
nah. It's very long and you really have to watch every second of it. It's one of those, you know. You'll get lost if you don't.
Finally for now, former teammate you'd like to meet again?
And I have loads of teammates I'd like to meet again. I've only one teammate I wouldn't like to meet again.
Oh, you have to tell us.
El Hadji Diouf. Absolute egg. I think everybody knows him. He's the one person. Everybody else I'd have loads of time, but if I seen El Hadji on one side of the street, I'd cross over.
We of course will be asking for a statement from El Hadji Diouf to clear all that. In the meantime, thanks very much MB and DSN.
Off the Ball Breakfast
with Viagra Connect 50 mg film coated tablets. Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150 mg tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability. Following pharmacist consultation.